Deuteronomy chapter 6, and this is the word of the Lord. We're beginning to read at verse 4 of Deuteronomy 6. These are familiar words if you've ever read your Bible at all. These do not sound new. Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. What do children really need? What do they really need? Especially for living in this secular world. Well, the world is bombarding children with countless false messages. And that world and its false messages will capture your child unless you give them what they really need, which is training in the Lord. How can they survive in this crazy, mixed-up world? Only by training in the Lord. How can they stand for what's right and good according to God's command and God's word? Only by training in the Lord. How can they follow Jesus in a secular world that's going to repeatedly tell them they're crazy for following Jesus? They can only do so as you and parents, by the grace and working of God, train them in the Lord, and that they know the Lord themselves and have the power of God in them to follow Jesus in a secular world. Today's passage gives the training responsibility to parents, to believing parents. What was true there in Israel and the covenant with Moses is true for believers in Jesus Christ in the new covenant. Parents bear the training responsibility. But that training is also grounded in the connection to the believing community, to the community of God's people. It was that way in the Old Testament, is that way now. And we're looking today primarily at how. Hoping today's message will give to parents and to those who wish to partner with parents some hows. How do we do this training thing? As we recognize that the stakes are high and we need to train kids to follow Jesus even in a secular world. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. And it says, Hear, O Israel. There it is. The context is God's covenant with the people of Israel, God's people at that time. And it's a context where they had been delivered by God's grace, God's mighty working. This is not a framework, nor are the Ten Commandments for somehow earning salvation. This is a framework of the delivered responding to God who has initiated a covenant with them. They've been rescued. 5 verse 2, verse 6, verse 15, 6:21. It's all about the rescue of God from Egypt. And as a believer in Jesus Christ, you've been rescued by God's grace through the mighty working of Jesus. And God, there in that context, through Moses, reminded them of their responsibilities. And God's word is reminding you, parent, reminding us as community of believers, of our responsibilities. And these responsibilities were important, especially important for them to be reminded of, because they were right on the cusp of going into the promised land. And you are living in a land. Your children are living in a land. And you need to be knowing and following these principles. They need to be instructed in these principles. Parents are given such a responsibility. The community of believers, which is the context that hears this call, is the context for that. So that our kids and us would live out in this land the things that represent God and His truth for the glory of God. So let's consider today, let them come. Training kids to follow Jesus in the secular world, the second of our messages. And the parent-church partnership is the fundamental sort of presupposition of this. I believe it's in every part of the scripture. And it's not parents alone, nor is it dropping them off at the church. It's parents assuming their responsibility and the church coming alongside parents, resourcing them, and parents connecting to that broader community in getting that support, prayer, help, encouragement, and reinforcement for the training of children. From Mark chapter 10, verses 13 through 16, we considered last week, let them come. We introduce this parent church partnership in gospel ministry to children and the importance of the training of children, the vital need for training. You can't be a passive parent, nor can we be a passive church. Kids will not know and follow the Lord if we take that approach. Jesus welcomed children, and He calls us to receive Him. And He calls children to receive Him. And He models this wonderful ministry of receiving children and pointing us to point children to Him whom they need. It's a ministry that is Christ-centered, repeated, intentional, relational, and prayerful. We talked about all those things last week. We're going to unpack a different text every Sunday. Today we're looking at Deuteronomy chapter 6. And our focus today is for letting children come, we need to put God at the center. God must be at the center for every parent who claims to know Jesus and for the Christian community. And here's the thing. You can claim to be a Christian and not put God at all at the center. God is a sidebar and not the hub. And a lot of people have modeled, of course, that. And if you model that, your kids will likely follow your modeling. God is a sidebar, and they won't be standing at all. I'm not trying to condemn those whose kids have walked away. If you've done your best to put God at the center and train them, of course, they made their choice, and we'll continue to pray for them to return. What I'm saying is we must model for them and be a part of this community that puts God at the center. That's how parents and church can train kids. We're going to talk about three aspects of this today. Internalization. It starts in you. It starts in you, in your relationship with the Lord. And integration is beautiful. Where do you train kids? Everywhere. Everywhere. Every moment is a moment for training. Every activity is an environment for potential training. The only thing that's keeping it from such is the vision of the parent and the vision of the community. So you teach kids in all of life, literally all of life is an opportunity to teach. We'll see that in this text. And the Christian community comes alongside parents in that. And of course, as we grow in the Lord in all of life and connect to this community, we're a part of modeling that and helping to reinforce that. You put God at the center, and you've just made this environment for teaching in all of life a part of the equation for those kids that connect to you, whether that's family or church family. And then intentionality. This is so important. You can't just sort of put it on cruise control because the culture is going to kind of take over the cruise control. The remote is in the hands of the culture unless you're intentional. You're saying, no, this is what we're going to do, and you need specific times, plans, goals, structures, reinforcement, adjustments, etc. Parenting has to be hands-on intentional as we put God at the center. That's where we're going today. Let's talk first about internalization. It starts in you and your personal relationship with the Lord. Verse 5 speaks of training kids from the priority of your own wholehearted love for the Lord. And even as a Christian community, if you're wholeheartedly loving the Lord, you're reflecting and being a part of this kind of internalization being passed on to kids because you're doing it. When I say to people, it's like, why should you serve in ministry? If God is not at the center of your life, you're thinking you're doing us and kids a favor by serving in children's or youth ministry. But if God is at the core of your life, you're only doing what God told you to do. If he tells you to serve in children or youth ministry. See how God at the center changes the equation? Training kids starts from that wholehearted love for the Lord as your priority, individually as a parent and as a community of believers. And training kids as the Lord's words are in you, on your heart, more and more. This is not just, oh, okay, give that kid those truths or whatever, and they have them in their head. No, this is you take those truths in your heart, and you parent kids from that reality. You relate from that reality. Wherever they're at in their spiritual journey, it's undeniable to them and a part of your growth process that those words are in you. It's in you. Train kids from that reality. Let's look at verse 5, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And of course, Jesus declared this is the first and greatest commandment. This clearly applies to New Covenant believers. Whatever minor differences there are from that time and to the reality now, that one is for sure. The top priority is to love God wholeheartedly. As a follower of Jesus Christ, that's what's going on in you and your pursuit as you train kids, and that's what you want for them as you train kids. This reality flows from the exclusive God. There is only one. He is one. Therefore, it calls for exclusive, total loyalty to God with all that you are. And we parent then, and we partner with parents from this God-centered worldview. This is foundational and fundamental. The worldview that's God-centered defines what is important. Who am I? Why am I here? What is good and what is not good? The answer to those questions is in the God-centered worldview. Put God at the center. It shapes and defines all that stuff. It really goes back to that fundamental Genesis chapters 1 through 3 kind of truth. And of course, as you think about Moses and how he was writing for Israel, it's like that was the first stuff. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And of course, we wonder why kids are feeling hopeless and terribly confused. Well, like for 50 years, our culture has been saying, well, you emerge from random chance without any God-defined definition. Of course, they're going to be confused. And of course, Christian parenting then is to bring children back to and remind them of this reality of God created, who you are, why are you here, why are we here, what's our purpose, etc., etc. Of course, Genesis 1 through 3, those foundational passages, also define the family. What is gender? Male, female, one man, one woman, marriage, the family, all those things. So these distortions that are being thrown out of that are just a rejection of the God-centered worldview. We're not being hard on anybody. We love and minister to compassion to everybody, but we will assert and continue to minister from the framework of the God-centered worldview. That's just the truth. And we want to see people delivered from all these kinds of distortions, dysfunctions, brokenness, bondage. And we'll see that as we're faithful to declare the gospel in the context of the God-centered worldview and minister to children and disciple them in this God-centered worldview. Let me ask you some questions that puts parenting in the context of the God-centered worldview? These are big questions, and sadly, sometimes Christian parents answer these entirely wrong. To whom do your kids belong? They aren't your kids. They belong to God. They belong to God. And what's the purpose of my kids? The purpose of your kids is to know and glorify God. Not to make a lot of money, be successful, be involved in a ton of different activities, wonderful, be super popular, etc., etc. It's to know and glorify God. And who should my kids make look good? Now, a lot of high-achieving parents take great pride in that their kids make them look good. But your kids are not here to make you look good. They're here to make God look good. Your job is to help them reflect the greatness and the grace of God. Now, that's a long way from where the unbelieving heart is, but that's your job. Who should my kids make happy? Themselves? The idolatry of much modern parenting to say, yeah, I just want my kids to be happy. Well, that's an idol. Your job is not to make them happy, nor is their job to make you happy. Your job and their job is for them and you to make God happy. See how profoundly relevant the biblical worldview is? So as a parent, your role is not sort of just get them feed and clad and out the door, whatever, or get them to be successful or whatever, or, they got to answer to me because I'm the boss or whatever. No, your job is to help them. You're an ambassador of God to help them know and follow God and to train them in that reality. And of course, by now you're feeling like, whoa, that's a big one. And you should be. That's why you've got to be about God. Put God at the center, wherever they're at. Put God at the center. That's your numero uno job for this reality. And then let's look at verse 6. These words I command you today shall be on your heart. These words, these God-given words, and of course, applied to new covenant believers, is the entirety of the God-given words. So that's a personal internalization. That's not saying, oh, I believe this stuff. Oh, yeah, that's up here. It's vaguely familiar to me, I guess, now and then I access that. No, this is your insides at the control center. It's a personal internalization. So first of all, you have genuine faith, and you have this ongoing desire to grow in faith. And Deuteronomy points to, if you look at chapter 30, the new covenant, Jeremiah 31, the reality of God by the working of the Spirit making this internal reality even more possible through what God has done through the work of Jesus Christ and the sending of the Holy Spirit. But let's just talk about this. Once you know Jesus, once you have personal faith, what do you do with it? You desire to grow in the Word. Psalm 119, verse 11. Why do you hide God's Word in your heart? So you don't sin. Your word have I hidden in my heart, so I might not sin against God. You're taking in the word as a resource for standing, growing, obeying. I love Colossians 3:10. It has this phrase, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. That's a command to believers, to take it in, take it deeply, fully, more comprehensively, all the time in. And that's going to result in teaching and admonishing one another, that connection to the community and growing together and seeing how we can encourage one another as we praise and glorify God. These words that I command you shall be on your heart, in you. What are some of the greatest ad slogans that you recall? If you think of like an ad, like, man, that stuck with me. The one that stuck with me related to this one is Gatorade's slogan, years ago anyway, I don't know if it still is it in you? My question to you about God's word, is it in you? It's through personal faith, receiving Jesus by grace, growing, taking it in, submitting to it, the Spirit of God making that alive in you, applying it, living it out, day by day, all the time. You're growing. The Word is in you. The Word is in you. How do we train kids to follow Jesus in a secular world? Putting God at the center first in this internalization. This internalization, parents and partnering community. And let's talk about integration. That's the word I've used to describe what is defined for us here in verse 7. You teach kids in the teachable moments, which is pretty much any time. You teach kids by putting in time with the kids and having a relationship with the kids. And of course, this is not only true for parents, it's true for a community that wants to impact kids. We don't impact kids by not having time with them or relationship with them, which is part of why things like Inside Out and retreats and whatever are really, really important. Because it creates a context where there's relationship with of other believing peers and with leaders who are investing in them, and that provides a context for this kind of reinforcement, a teachable moment type thing to happen outside of the home. And one of the things that strikes me is how much time our kids in our modern culture typically spend not with your parents. And the reality is, if they're spending a lot of time not with you, you got to be debriefing a whole lot and structuring things a whole lot to say, hey, what are you being taught out there? What are they telling you in that class? What are those friends saying? What are the messages? How can we help them to have discerning ears to say, wrong, 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 wrong. Okay, this is what the truth is. So you got to create this conversation with the teachable moments. And this is really something that gets at in verse 7. Chapter 6, verse 20 references when kids ask a question. And if they're asking you a question, that's a great thing. That is where you really need to go in the conversation. What that question is, and when you're hanging out with them is when the questions come. They're not coming to you when you want them to say, hey, what are your questions? The questions emerge from life. And this kid today said this, and by the way, I heard that. There's where you go. Integration into all of life. You have to have a relationship, spend time with them. This is what it says, and that contrasting pairs really cover all life. You shall teach them diligently. Notice the emphasis. One translation said, impress them. Not just kind of hear some stuff. No, really teach it diligently. Impress these words, the truth of God, on your children. And here's the contrasting pairs. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way. So sometimes you're sitting, sometimes you're walking. Sometimes you're in your house, sometimes you're out on the way. And when you lie down and when you rise up, lying down and rising up. And the idea of that is not like those are the only times you do it. The idea of that is these contrasting pairs, in the house and out, walking, and by the way, sitting and rising, lying down, etc. It encompasses everything. That's the whole of life. You're there in the whole of life, teaching in those teachable moments, because teaching is integrated for you. I believe every parent should debrief their children every day. Every single day. This is something Lori and I sought to do with our kids, because those messages are coming at them. And if you can help them to verbalize what's going on and help them to learn discernment, rejection, acceptance, replacement, etc., that's what you need to be doing. You can't just say, oh, okay, I taught them a few things, they're going to be okay. You got to help get at what's going on inside there in those teachable moments. I found with one of our kids, the time when they always wanted to talk was when they were supposed to be sleeping. And Dad was a softie. He usually went with the talk. And I have no regrets about that today, actually. I have no regrets about that at all, because that was a teachable moment. So make use of those times. as parents, and we partner with parents in that reality. Here's another part of teachable moments. Your children are probably going to follow your example more than your words. So how do you deal with conflict and anger? It's probably not what you say as much as what you do. How do you deal with authority figures, even ones you don't really like that much? It's probably a lot of what you say that translates. How do you deal with difficult people in your life? How do you follow God's plans for you? How do you address problems? How do you relate to work? How do you maneuver difficult situations? How's your marriage? How do you manage money? All these things, right? Your kids are probably watching, and you may be able to espouse a great theology of these things, but what they're going to see is probably going to influence them more, and that's what you live and display in those teachable moments. We found that family meals were a wonderful time for these kinds of teachable moments. Just slowing down enough to have a relationship together, spend some time together, talk a little bit, laugh a little bit, pray, and learn as we follow God. Here's some elements just to give you some ideas. Well, how do you kind of capture this impressing God's truth in the teachable moments of life? One is just the reality. Your personal faith in Christ gives you a story. If that's real, that's your story. Another is remembering. You remember to tell God's story. The big thing is not what you're doing. The big thing is what God has done in the person of Jesus Christ. And of course, all these things were framed for Israel. It was like, hey, God delivered you out of Egypt. For all these things for us as believers in Jesus Christ, God has delivered you by the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross and his resurrection. And wonderful things like communion point to those realities. We can talk to our kids about those realities of reminders. Then relationship. Your ability to impact your child will likely only be as effective as your relationship with them. That's the conduit. You got to maintain that. If you just got and just sort of, hey, here's all the stuff you need to know, kid, and they don't know you care and you don't relate to them, you're likely not getting any of that stuff through. And then the readiness. Here's something to pay attention to. What are the questions my child is asking? What are their abilities? You're not going to give them college-level theology when they're 5 years old. So give them what they need, what relates to them now. And then responsiveness, where you see the Holy Spirit working. When you see that softness, when you see that responsiveness, when you see something's going on, they got questions, or even sometimes when they got problems, which is a wonderful entree to questions and solutions. That's the Holy Spirit working. Tune in, dial in. That's where you got to really impress the truth. Let's talk about intentionality. So much can just happen sort of spontaneously as God leads and works, as you make God the center and just observe. But parents need intentionality. And that, to me, is what verses 8 and 9 are about. Training kids requires reminders, tools, plans, goals, evaluations, resets, adjustments. It involves charts and lists and books and tools and researching. It takes intentionality. That's what these verses rightly understood about. Not rigidity, some legalistic thing, but this is intentionality. You shall bind them as signs on your hand, verse 8. They shall be as frontlets between your eyes. And of course, some people took this rigidly and actually had literally scripture verses in small writing on little boxes that were hung by their forehead. And I'm convinced not what this is saying in that legalistic sense. You can say, well, how do you know that, Pastor Bruce? Well, one is the top verse is about the heart. So you can follow that all you want. If it isn't happening in your heart, it's not really what the Bible says. Number two is in the Bible, there is no New Testament command to make all these legalistic things a reality. And it sort of strikes us as like, well, that's probably not what Jesus was about. But if it really was a command, it probably would show up again throughout the Old Testament at least. and it doesn't in that rigid sense. And thirdly, if you look at Exodus chapter 13, verse 16, this phrase is used not of legalistic, but of reminder, which is the point. It's reminder. Why do you put stuff into your calendar and your phone? To remind you. For me, a great illustration of this reminding principle is something I do, which is sort of the Pastor Bruce version of tying something on your finger. If I'm talking to somebody like, yeah, I want to send you that email, or I need to remember that handout, and it's like, I know I'm going to forget, and I don't have a sheet of paper, I do this. I take my watch from my left hand, left arm, and put it on my right arm. And then later on in the day, I'm like, why would I put my watch on my right arm? Oh, that's right. I promised them I'd send that email. I'd get that sheet, which today I actually got the sheet for somebody that I did this week. So you need things like that as a parent. Parenting stuff needs to be in your calendar, list, charts, goals. You need tools. And you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. It's a great thing to have that there, not as a decoration, but as a reminder. So we all need these concrete plans, reminders, goals as we parent, and I would say as a community, as we partner with parents. One of the wonderful things about Sunday, it's a weekly reminder when that's on your calendar. If it's all flexible and like, I'll do it when I feel like it, well, it's not much a reminder. One of the wonderful things about ministries, like children's ministry that happens at Trinity or youth ministry that happens at Trinity, it's a great reminder. Parents are like, oh, we can do that. It's on our calendar. Let's go. It's tangible. It's concrete. We're not just freewheeling here. Now, you need those kinds of things in your family, in your life, in your home, whatever that fit for you, your child, where they're at, etc. Let's not get rigid about this. Let's just remember we need concrete things. God's word has assured us of that. In our training with kids, whatever their age, whatever their stage, we need that. Let me give you some thoughts related to this intentionality. How can you do this? I'm just trying to get you started as parents. Here's one: gathering on Sunday for worship. Make that a part of your intentionality. Prayer with your child. And prayer is a family. Just, hey, we're going to pray. This is what we do. We build it into the rhythm of our life. We pray in family like this. We build it into the rhythm of our life. And then age-flexible Bible devotions. And as our kids were growing up, we tried numerous things, and we changed all the time, and I think that's probably the way it should be. Because based on the age, the stage, whatever, we tried this for a while. They thought it was fun. Then it got really boring, and it was like, okay, well, let's change that now. So you figure out how to flex and go with what works for the child to help them in an intentional way take in the truth of God. And build that into your family schedule, whatever that looks like for you. I think one of the enemies of this is guilt, and another of the enemies of this is boredom. You don't want to be guilting yourself to death because you probably never start, and you don't want to create something that just bores your kids to tears. That's probably not going to work. So yeah, they probably will push back, but take that with a grain of salt. But if it's just terribly boring and you're losing them, try something different. Try something different. And books and resources are helpful. So many different things you could use. If you're like, well, where do I start? Go back in the center lobby today. We got a little table. We put some books and resources for families. So if you have no idea where to start, go grab one of those books in the center lobby to get yourself started. God-centered music. What a wonderful tool. What a wonderful tool. Let the praises of the Lord fill your heart and your home. You can use music to teach. And man, that's a lot more fun than just, droning on and on with concepts, right? So use music as a part of this intentionality. Family traditions are wonderful. Ministry together. You want to see your kids grow? Go serve together. Figure out how to serve together. Take on somebody who's got a big need, and we're going to pray as a family and do what we can as a family, and let's be in this. You're going to see them learn lessons. You want those teenagers to learn how to follow Jesus and serve and teach kids? You know where they can learn that? Doing ministry with kids. Let them be a helper in Sunday school, VBS. And they'll go from here to here in capacity to teach because they're learning it. And they'll be wonderful teachers as they've been trained in doing ministry. Teach specific values. You see something that, you know, like, man, the culture is just wacky on this. Teach about it. Yeah, I'm kind of weak in this. Teach about it. My kids need this. Teach about it. Teach specific values. How do we deal with money? Teach specific life skills. How do we grow in discipline? These things you can hone in on something that seems to be neat if you take an intentional approach. I hope you've not got exhausted here, but rather been inspired with something that maybe you can take in your life as a parent and in your life as a partner with parents. That could be grandparent, aunt, uncle, cousin, or Trinity Community Church family member. So many wonderful opportunities. I want to right now ask us to think about our response in one specific way. And that is when we know God through faith in Jesus Christ, we want to be a part of spreading the message of the gospel to others. And our VBS this year is a wonderful opportunity for all of us to be a part of that. And I'm going to invite Eric to come up here right now. He's going to talk to us about something we all can do this year related to VBS to help spread the message of Jesus.
Good morning. So for those of you that walked in the door today, which is everyone that's here in person, right? I'm sure you saw that there were a whole bunch of these signs sitting outside. And no, I didn't overorder. they serve a purpose here. So the purpose of those is for you. So what I'm asking you, if you feel led to take one of these signs and plant this in your yard. And this really is going to do a few things for us. First off, it's you kind of putting a stake in VBS, right? It's you being intentional and saying, hey, I'm taking a tangible way to partner with TCC in VBS, right, as we prepare for our Backyard Kids Club. So that's a big one. And talk about a string on a finger, right? Every time you walk into your house, driving in your driveway, you're going to see that sign, right? Also, that's helping to get VBS out into the community, right? The community that you live in, I'm guessing there's some kids, right? So this is a great way for you to have that sign out there, maybe provoke some question, maybe somebody comes to you, right? Or maybe they don't. And if they don't come to you, then they can use the Scan Me sign that's right on there, or go to Trinity's website to learn more about VBS and our Backyard Kids Club and what that looks like. So I guess as we prepare to pray, right, I would just ask that you think intentionally about what you can do to partner. And to me, this is a great way that you can do that. There will be more ways that you can help partner with us through VBS, but prayer is a huge one, as well as helping us to get this out to the community. So if you guys would just pray with me really quick around this, I'd appreciate that. Dear Lord, I just thank you for the opportunity to gather together around these kids, the kids of TCC, the kids of these communities that don't know you yet. Just pray for us to be a light for you, to look for ways that we can share your love with our community, that we can point people to you, point people to your community, the church, God. I thank you for each person who is with us both physically here as well as those who are watching us online. God, I pray that their hearts would be open to thinking about how they can partner with us as we look to advance the gospel. Thank you and praise your name. Amen.
If you want to stand with us now.